The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
We are going to be in Galatians chapter 2 today. That was a promise, but I have a few verses just to catch us up with in Galatians chapter 1. So you can turn to the book of Galatians and we'll get started right away. Let me pray for us real quick as we open God's word together. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. We pray that as we look into it now, that you'd bring it alive in our lives, God, that we'd see the way that we can apply it and understand it and be changed by it. And God, we thank you again just for how much you love us, and we pray that you just help us to come to know you more. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so a couple weeks ago we started this journey through the book of Galatians. What I'll tell you about this journey is it's probably going to take us a couple months to get through this this book. It's not too many chapters, but we're kind of taking it slow to really get out of it everything that it has to offer. And what I really like is that a couple of you are digging deep during the week. A few of you have asked me some questions about some things, so that's great. I'll keep those coming. And what I'll try to do is weave the answers to some of those questions in my next week's talk. So please send questions, do some studying on the book of Galatians. Next week we'll be finishing chapter, actually next week we'll be not here. We're going to be at our free sale, so strike that. The next time we gather together for our study in Galatians won't actually be until the first Sunday in June. Next Sunday is our free sale. The Sunday after that, on the holiday weekend, Andrew is actually going to be teaching that week, and I'll be doing a wedding. Yes, for Anna here, and her soon-to-be wedded husband, Alex, who is not able to be here. He's working or something this morning. So thanks for being here, Anna, and it's going to be a great time. Here we go. Let's get into the book of Galatians. Before we do, I want to point out the last verse first. Kind of different, but it helps feed into what we just talked about. Look at 2:10. Galatians 2, verse 10. Galatians 2:10 says this. All they asked was that we should continue to do what? Say it again, a little louder. Remember the poor. We're going to dive into a lot today before we get there, and hopefully we do actually get there today. But one of the key things that that is going to happen today is that after some arguing and some debate, they're going to end on this page together. All we ask is that you remember the poor. Next week, we are going to have a worship service by worshiping through service. And so a minute ago, Doug was announcing that if you feel led to come, if you want to serve, there are clipboards in the back where you can sign up. But the encouragement I want to send out to each and every one of you here is that whether you sign up on a board or not, or have a particular job for that day, that you would come and worship God through service. And we want all of you to be there. And it's going to be a very special day, a time of worshiping God in a different kind of way, meeting people you may have never met before, meeting people and praying with people who God will bring into your life, and some you may never see again. But the truth is that we have some people sitting in our midst now who have come to know our community through a free sale. And we have many who are out today and others in our community who have come to be a part of our gathered believers through our way of reaching out in God's name. And so we invite you to come out next week. It's going to be a great day. We're going to be starting up by setting up the school as early as 7 o'clock, and the doors will open to the community at about 9. And so if you do have stuff you want to bring, you can bring it that 7 o'clock in the morning hour and set up those last things. But we really want you to get it there earlier, Friday night from 5 to 7, or Saturday from noon to 5. So, and then you can come out Sunday and help serve people. And it's going to be a great morning. We are called by God. What James says is the right kind of religion, if you're into religion, the right kind of religion is taking care of who? Widows and orphans. And here we're challenged to remember the poor. Last week we talked a lot about, and the week before, and today we're going to talk a lot about taking care of the poor does not get you into heaven. But as a citizen of heaven, as a child of God, we are to take care of the poor. Do you get the difference? Many of us, we try to earn our way to the cross. We try to earn our way into heaven by heaping up good works, by serving enough, by showing up to enough events to earn our way, to do good deeds, to hopefully in the end, the balances are the good outweigh the bad. But Paul just obliterated that mindset in Galatians chapter 1 when he said that's a false gospel. The gospel is not dependent on who you are or what you do. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. If we lived a life full of good, it still wouldn't be enough to earn our way to heaven. We have to accept Christ's righteousness in our place, and he covers us. And so we're going to dive into that some more today. Where we've been so far in our journey is at the very book of Galatians, just to kind of catch some of you up. I know some of you can't be here each week. Galatians is a letter written by a guy named Paul, who was one of the history's first church planters. He traveled all throughout the areas known as Turkey and Asia and Europe and all those areas, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And literally thousands of people were coming to know who Christ was. Some who had grew up as Jews, just like Saul was. Before Saul had his name changed to the name Paul, he was a devout Jewish boy. He grew up being taught in the synagogue, memorizing the Torah, giving his life over to the service of the law of Moses. And these laws were great. And we're going to learn about this today, that the law is good. Hopefully you're not hearing from me that the law of the Old Testament is something we need to ignore, because the law is a very good thing for a very good reason. But the law does not save anyone. The law does not make us possible to be a child of God. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But this guy Saul grew up so passionate about the law and so passionate about making sure other people obeyed the law and followed the law, that when this Christian force rose up, these followers of Jesus Christ, he saw them as enemies of the law, and he wanted them taken out. So passionate about the law that he was willing to break the law, because one of the laws is thou shalt not kill, right? But so passionate about wanting to make sure that law was followed that he became a persecutor and a murderer of those who he thought were against the law. And so in the midst of him hunting down Christians, God got a hold of him and literally knocked him off his horse and spoke to him and said, what are you doing? And Saul cried out. He said, God, I thought I was following you. I thought I was doing the wrong thing. And God speaks down to him and says, it is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And from now, you will be my servant. And Paul literally is blinded. And he's sent to this town. And where he's at this town, he's ministered to. A guy is called by God, a guy named Ananias. God calls out to this guy and says, okay, you know the guy Saul, who's like out persecuting and putting Christians in prison and committing murder and standing by and cheering on people as they stone Christians to death. I want you to go and heal that guy. Ananias is like, what are you talking about? Okay, I know I'm supposed to follow you. I know you're God, but really the guy who's, if I get shanked in this process, that's in the Greek, okay? If my life is taken, you're the one to blame, okay? It doesn't say it exactly like that. But a little hesitant, he says, the one who's been persecuting us, really? And he goes, okay, you're God. You know more than I do, so I'll obey. And so Ananias goes, and he finds Paul. And what's really awesome that we're going to get into some today is when he finds this guy, Paul, who still has the name Saul, this guy has been transformed already. No man has come to Saul and presented the gospel. No man has come and opened up a gospel tract. You guys know what a gospel tract is? You know, the four spiritual laws. You know, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. You have sin in your life that separates you from God, and so on and so on. And now do you want to say a magical prayer to save yourself from your sins? Nobody's done that with Paul. Paul actually says, the gospel was not presented by any man to me, but it came as a revelation from Jesus Christ himself. And so Paul, in a very unique way, God spoke to in that time of solitude and revealed himself to him, so much so that Paul didn't only hear from God, he was then able to get up from that room, be healed, he becomes able to see again, and then he goes into the temple and he starts preaching the gospel. And all these people who were like afraid of that guy, like that guy's going to kill me, they're now hearing him preach with boldness and more clarity than even they could say on their own. And they look at him and they're amazed, saying, how can this be? And word started to spread that the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the same message who he tried to stop. And this guy, Paul, through him, the church starts to spread and starts to grow. And this book, Galatians, this letter, is one of the areas where Paul proclaimed this message. And as he's proclaiming the message, he's moving around. He's a missionary church planter. So he goes into an area, and in some areas, he's only there a couple days. In some areas, he's there a couple years. And he raises up people from within those areas and says, okay, you now believe it? Reproduce it. Teach it to others. Let's see this movement of God move. And then he moves on. Well, while he's moving on, he's hearing that some not so good things are happening in these places he's been. And in this particular chapter, chapter one, he's heard that there are these group of men called Judaizers, okay? Basically, they are former Jews like he was, who have come to realize that maybe Christ was the Messiah, because many of the Jews, they were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, but they wanted a king, they wanted a ruler, they didn't want some carpenter boy who would then be crucified and hung on a tree. They wanted somebody mighty in power. And Jesus didn't line up with all that they wanted. But now they're hearing stories of how this was the Son of God, how he came, how he conquered sin and death, how he rose from the dead. And if we want to enter into a true relationship with the Father, it's not by obeying the law, but it's by being set free from the law and from our sin, and through Jesus being forgiven. And so Paul is teaching this gospel, the real gospel, the true gospel. But these former Jews come in to these young Christians and they get up in front of them and they are learned men. They know the scriptures that have been written up to those days. And they are teaching and they are saying, yes, Jesus is good. You should follow Jesus. But if you really want to follow Jesus, you've got to become a Jew. And even if you can't become a Jew, like physically, you need to be circumcised if you're a man. You guys know what that means, right? I don't have to explain that. Yet, you have to be circumcised as a man, and you need to start learning the dietary laws and the customs of the Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew, and if you want to be a good follower of Jesus, you've got to start living like a Jew. And Paul hears about this, and he writes back, and he says, I am astonished that you guys are being so fooled by this lie. The gospel is this: Jesus loves you. He died for you. You're a sinner. Accept his forgiveness and you become a child of God. It's that simple. But the Jews have come in and said, well, it's not that simple. Really, you have to earn it. That forgiveness is offered by Jesus, but only if you are circumcised, only if you follow the right laws, only if you check off the right boxes, then you're good enough to receive the gift of God. And this is completely contrary to what scriptures teach. This is completely not the gospel. And we've seen many false religions that have popped up through the years. Our presidential candidate, one of them, Romney, is a Mormon. And yesterday he spoke at the school I graduated from, Liberty University. That's not a Mormon school. And it has me going, that's a little weird. We won't go down that road, okay? What I want to tell you is that Mormons, they'll say they're Christians. And Romney got up and he said a lot of things that sounded very Christian yesterday. He talked about God. But the truth is that the God of Mormonism is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Mormons is a God who came from another planet. And he moved into our universe. And he brought a lot of his own spiritual wives with him. And they had glorious reproduction time in heaven and made a lot of spirit babies, and they sent them down to this earth they created. And if the spirit babies weren't good followers in heaven, if they were, like, one of them was named Lucifer, if they were sent to earth and they weren't followers, if they were rebels of the Heavenly Father, they were cursed with black skin. And that's been rewritten out of the Mormon. You can go back to a Mormon Bible written in the 50s and you'll see that. But it's now changed. Truth never changes. Truth doesn't ever have to change. And yet Mormon doctrine will teach that if you're a good enough man, you will one day become God of your own planet. And you'll be able to bring as many women from planet Earth with you, as long as they're not claimed by somebody else. You'll be able to bring those women with you and have your own spirit babies and populate a new earth. Is that the Mormonism that we often hear about? No, it's not. And it's not the Bible either. If anybody preaches another gospel, whether they bring up a guy named Jesus and a guy named God and they talk about faith, if you get down into the meat of it and it's not what's in Scripture, it's not the Bible and it's not truth. And so the encouragement from Paul to the Galatians is get back into the things that I taught you. Don't let false teachers come in and rise up and lead you astray. Don't be fooled. Jesus loves you. He's forgiven you. Accept it, believe it, and move on. Now, in believing and becoming a child of God, there should be fruits of the Spirit, things that will come out in your life. And we'll get to that in Galatians chapter 5. But that's a summary of chapter 1, okay? And so Paul says, okay, so what are my credentials? You've heard of the disciples. What are some of their names? Just give me some names. Just shout them out so I know you're listening. Some of the disciples, say it again. Matthew, Mark, Peter. Okay, yeah, you're okay. So these disciples walked the earth with Jesus. And in the first book, chapter of Acts, Jesus has died on the cross. He has risen again. And now he has come to his close followers. There are 11 of them left of the closest group. Judas has taken his own life for betraying Jesus. He went out and committed suicide. But the 11 are there, and Jesus says, okay, it's now time for you to take this the next step. I am going to build the church on you. He looks at Peter and he says, you are the rock, and through you I am going to build the church. And he says, I am now sending you out. I want you to go out and teach everything I've taught you. Spread the love, but wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to do these things. And so these disciples became known as the apostles, the sent ones of God to go out and start this movement. And who was the people group they were sent to originally reach? Other Jews. Go out and tell other Jews. We're going to read about that in a minute. When are we going to finally get to it? There's a lot of background. Sorry. We're going to read about that in a minute. Peter and many of them, they're sharing with the Jews. God sent the Messiah, guys. You missed him. Not only did you miss him, but many of you were there yelling, crucify him. We got it wrong, but you can still have hope. If you repent now and put your belief in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And all of your wrongs from the past will be wiped away. And you can become children of God. And so these disciples, these apostles are sent out. In the meantime, while the church is growing under them, not just Jews, but many Greeks and many people from other races and nationalities are hearing this news. You can read about this in the early book, the early chapters of the book of Acts. The news of the gospel of Christ is spreading throughout the world. And the Jews are getting very upset about this. And so Saul rises up on the scene. And, okay, time for me to be Terminator. He rises up as the Jewish Terminator, starts hunting down Christians, but in the meantime gets grabbed by God. And God is now choosing to use him, and he's going to send him to who? Who have we learned Paul is sent to? The Gentiles. All of the non-Jews, Paul is sent to tell them. So let's dive in and see where we are so far. Galatians chapter 1. Those lights are really bright and are covered. I want them bright because it helps me see, but I can't see the clock. So I need someone to be able to tell me what time it is every once in a while. Okay? I only have 5 minutes left. Okay, you'll tell me when I have 5 minutes left. Thank you. Okay, here we go. Let me start in chapter 1, verse 15. This is Paul talking, and now he's describing how he was grabbed as that enemy of God and became a child of God. He says this, but when God, who according to his own plan, now I put those words in there, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal, keep going, to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Leave it up there on the screen. Basically, he's saying that before I was even born, God knew that he was going to use me this way. He knew I was going to be an apostle sent to the Gentiles. And he goes on and he says this. He was pleased to reveal the son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately instead into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after how long? 3 years. He then goes up to Jerusalem. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him. How long? 15 days. So here's the point I want to make real quick again. God got a hold of Saul and transformed him. He didn't go through another man. This is unique. It isn't, I said this the other day, God is not going to appear to you most likely on your commute to the Pentagon on I-95. He's more than likely got you here today to hear the gospel through another person so that you can hear it now. But Paul, God reached him in a very mysterious way. He revealed himself personally and then immediately sent him out. It wasn't like he went to the seminary first to get the right degree to become a church planner. It wasn't like he first went to the apostles and Peter. How long did it take before he met Peter? 3 years. And then he hung out with Peter to get acquainted with him for a couple weeks. Hey, let's hang out a little bit. Paul was miraculously reached by God and given the gospel of Jesus Christ in a bold and powerful way to go and then start spreading it. Let's keep going. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was previously unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They had only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they what? Say that again. Say that one more time. Have you ever wondered, God, are people going to praise you because of me or walk away from you because of me? Has that thought ever crossed your mind? Growing up, I often heard the phrase, you might be the only Jesus some people ever see. That hit me as a teenager in high school. Because I had a lot of friends that were into partying, into doing all kinds of things, but not into God. One of my best friends named Neil, at the end of my sophomore year, his junior year, he had everything. He had an IROC Z, you know, amazing car back then for a high school student. He had, you know, one of the prettiest girls in the high school as his girlfriend. He had all the best clothes, Z Cavaricci jeans, you remember those? He had everything, but he didn't know God, and he made fun of people who were into God, and I many times hid the fact that I was a Christian. The end of my sophomore year, he took his own life. I was blown away. I thought he had everything, but he didn't have hope, and I was too ashamed, and he didn't praise God because of me. From that day on, my hope and prayer has been, God, help me to live a life that if people see me, that they'll see my good works and come to know you in heaven. And that's my first pause this morning. Are you living the kind of life that when others look at you, they see an image of God in your life. This guy, Paul, I mean, some of you might be out there and say, no, when they look at me, you don't even want to know what they see. Look at Paul, the guy saying this. What was he before? A persecutor and a murderer. But God transformed his life so that through him, many people came to praise God. It can happen to you. If it could happen to him, it can happen to anyone. They praise God because of me. Let's keep going. Now we're finally into chapter 2. Woohoo! Okay, here we go. 14 years later. So for the past 14 years, God has been sending Paul to many different lands. You can read this in the middle chapters in the book of Acts, where Paul gets sent out with some partners. And here and there, he has some disputes. We're going to read about one of the disputes. Him and Peter go at it. I mean, they like two like pillars of the faith, and they are going to argue with each other. Can that happen? Well, yeah. They're both also human. And can we as good, loving Christians sometimes disagree and argue with each other? You better believe it. And we see it here. And so Paul, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. He's finally got this partner. Now, Barnabas was a devout Jew like he was. And together, they were Christians now and believers, and they hadn't yet completely abandoned the Jewish customs. There are a lot of Jewish customs that were good and good for others to follow. But they were not something that would make you a Christian. And so he and Barnabas are traveling together, but they also have this guy named Titus. I took Titus along also. Now, Titus is a bacon-loving, pork-grease-eating Gentile, okay? Jews and the dietary laws, pork was not allowed. But this guy, Titus, this non-Jew, was one of the converts to Christianity from Paul. And not only a convert, but he also wanted to learn under Paul and to become a missionary and a church planter himself. So Barnabas and Titus are following along with Paul. And it isn't a great journey. They go through shipwrecks. They go through being whipped, being put in prison, having rocks thrown at them, being many times threatened and having their life almost taken from them. Not an easy road. But Titus and Barnabas are there, and they're following Paul. And they arrive in Jerusalem, and watch what happens. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. And so Paul is out doing his thing among the churches, and he's got these converts now that are following him. And God says, I need you to go to Jerusalem. God sends him there through a special revelation. God sends him to this area, and he goes back, and he comes, and he preaches the gospel. Now, many of those in Jerusalem are believers already. But what he finds is that many of them are doing what we heard about in the beginning. Many of these are Jewish believers now who are perverting the gospel and trying to change the direction of the Galatians. Let's keep reading and see. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet, not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. So what happens in that time that we don't see there necessarily in those particular scriptures is that Paul goes and meets privately with these other teachers. And they have this discussion. And Paul ends up winning. And what's the evidence of winning? Peter doesn't have himself cut up. I mean, Titus doesn't get himself cut up. He doesn't get circumcised. He's there, and he remains a Greek, and yet still a believer of Jesus Christ. And the Jews that are there preaching the gospel, and Paul, who's preaching the gospel that he's been preaching, it becomes known that there's some differences here. And they get into it a little more. Let's see how it unfolds. Yet, verse 3 again. Not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some, who? False brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ and to make us, what? Slaves. These are key words. For ages, the phrase often used in Scripture was that by being bound to the law meant you were a slave to the law. The law said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, obey your father and mother. Are these good laws? Yeah, they're all good laws. There are many laws. Most of them we know, the popular ones called the Ten Commandments, right? These are still in many courtrooms today. And they're good laws. But can those laws save anyone? No. Following the law will help you realize that you fall short of the law. No one can obey all the commandments. Jesus himself was said, if you've broken one, it's as if you've broken all of them. None of us can uphold the law completely in our lives. And we fall short of the glory of God when we sin. The law cannot save us. It's kind of like this. Several years ago, how much time do I have, Austin? Huh? Okay. A couple years ago, Brandy, she had a pain in her hip. And she ignored it for a while, thinking she had just pulled a muscle. Well, the pain wouldn't go away and got worse. And so we went to a doctor, and the doctor said, you know, this is kind of interesting. Let's get some x-rays. And so they did an x-ray, and they found a lytic lesion. They weren't sure, you know what a lytic lesion is? It's like some kind of growth that's not supposed to be there. It could be a tumor. Who knows exactly what it is? We need you to go get some more study. So we were sent to the Washington Hospital Center and a couple other places, Inova Fairfax Hospital, and they had these amazing instruments and machines, an MRI, a CT scan, if I'm remembering right. There were so many different things we had to go through. These things were amazing because she could go inside them and they could literally like see into her body. Have any of you guys ever been through an MRI or a CT scan or something? Okay, a handful of you. It's amazing that they could look in and see these things. It's not as cool as like Star Trek when they just wave the wand and, you know, you have the whole readout of everything going on. But still, it's pretty cool. And they were able to go in there, and these machines, I mean, just utterly amazing. She tells this story that she went in one and she took off her shoes. They were kind of down at her feet as she's in this MRI. And while they slide her in, I guess an MRI machine has a lot of like magnets in it or something, right? You following me? Okay. So her shoes at the end of her feet, she's laying there, and all of a sudden in her peripheral vision, she sees something start floating. And her shoes like have metal in them, and so they're like floating, and they have to shut up the system down and go remove the shoes. Anyway, she thought that was kind of weird. Something's going on here. So anyways, this machine, as amazing as it is, did it have the power to cure her? No. It could diagnose what was wrong or be used to help diagnose what was wrong. It could see the areas where things weren't right, but it had no power to cure her. And that's what the law is in our life. The law shows us what's wrong with us. It shows us how we are liars. Have you ever told a lie? You're a liar. I know that sounds offensive, but it's true. Have you ever stole something, even something little like a pen from work? You're a thief. Okay, I know some of you are like, I'm walking out of this place. We have sin in our life. And because of one sin, we are sinners. And we see by looking at the law that the law shows us where we are wrong, where we are broken, where we fall short from God. The law cannot save us. It is holy and it is from God to show us where we fall short, but no amount or to the best of your ability can you follow the law and somehow earn your way to God. It is impossible. And that is why throughout the Old Testament they had to take the life of animal after animal because blood had to be shed. When we fall short from God, something had to die. The law cannot save us. Let's keep reading as we try and bring this to a close. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy and on the freedom that we have in Christ and to make us slaves to the law. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seem to be important, those leaders over there, whatever they were makes no difference to me. Paul kind of sounds like a jerk right now, but there's truth here. As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearances. It didn't matter if you were circumcised. It didn't matter if on the outside you wore the right garments. It didn't matter if on the outside you did actions. God doesn't judge by outside external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship. And when they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. Hold there. Leave that up. So let me try and wrap this up this morning. So Paul has showed up on the scene. He has lived a life full of religiosity. He has obeyed the law to the fullest of his potential. He has zealously sought to memorize the Torah. He has done everything that you could possibly do to try to be religious, but he did not know God. And some of you here today, you may have seen yourself going through the motions. Yeah, I attend church. For you, if I were to ask you, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. Do you read your Bible? Yeah, I have 14 of them. Do you help the poor? Sure, I donate to the free sale all the time. What's your relationship with Jesus like? I just told you. No. A relationship with Jesus is not based on how often you go to an event, how much you give, and how many Bibles you owe. Your relationship with Jesus is based on, is he in your life, day in and day out? Are the daily decisions that you make influenced or affected by Jesus is moving in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit? It's completely different. These things are not symbols of what make a Christian. It isn't about how much you know about God. It's about how much you know God and how much he knows you. And so Paul, he's lived this life of religiosity and tried to check off all the right boxes according to the law, and he was a slave to the law. But God said, no, that is all rubbish. It is all junk. It is all trash compared to knowing me, not knowing my laws, not knowing the principles and rules you're supposed to follow. You're supposed to know me. And God rescues Paul and sets him free from the law and says, instead, I give you grace. I give you love and forgiveness that you can never earn, that nothing you do can ever make you better or worthy enough to receive it. Accept my love. Receive my forgiveness, become a child of mine. And Paul does that. Miraculously, God reaches into Paul's heart and changes him and then says, now, with the truth that I have shown you, go and tell others. And Paul goes out and spreads the word. And along the route, he notices a lot of Jewish friends, the Jewish people are out there perverting the gospel. No, it's Jesus plus something. It's Jesus plus this. It's Jesus plus rules. It's Jesus plus rituals. It's Jesus plus nothing. And in our life, we have to come to realize that Jesus is the most important thing and the only thing needed for us to become a child of his. And when we follow after him, he will transform our lives and make us the people he wants us to be. And so they recognized these pillars, James, Peter, John, others looked and they said, okay, you're right. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we don't need to demand that they not eat pork. Maybe we need to not demand that they have to become circumcised. Maybe you're right, Paul. And they agreed. And they said, okay, we continue to send you out. You to the Gentiles and us to the Jews. And although the message needs to be the same, the Jews hear the same message as the Gentiles, but sometimes the method is different. Growing up, I love skateboarding. And as a youth pastor in Roanoke, Virginia, there were a ton of skaters who would illegally get, or would skate illegally in shopping centers and get kicked out. And so I said, there's a way that God's got to reach these kids. So we turned our gym and our church into a skate park. And we had 300 to 400 skaters in our church every weekend playing Christian rock music and letting them skate and finding times for us to develop relationships with them and present to them that Jesus loved them. And many of them were reached through skating and through rock music. It wasn't the same as some of you who were reached in a Sunday school class or hearing a sermon on a Sunday morning, but the message is the same, although the method needs to change to reach the people. Paul said, I become all things so that to all people so that I may reach some. And that truth God wants to use, wants you to first of all know, and wants to use you to spread to others. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the Jews. The last verse. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do. So as we close today, the question is, are you trying to appease God still by following law, by going to church enough, by owning enough Bibles and religious books and reading them enough? Or are you simply at a place where you're like, okay, I am not good enough. Christ, you are everything, and I surrender my life to you completely. Change me, transform me, make me the person you want me to be, and God will make you a child of his in a moment when you come to that place of realizing, I believe in you, I confess you as my Savior, forgive me of my sins. And then he will begin to transform you like he did Paul, and then he wants to send you out as an apostle to the Pentagon, as an apostle to the schools you work in, as an apostle to your community, a sent one of his to spread this love, this truth, to all who will receive it. And while you're going, remember the poor. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. But what is even more amazing is how you love us. We who are sinful people, who you have taken the blood of your own Son and washed us white as snow as we step into your love and receive your forgiveness. So Father God, again, I pray on behalf of those who are sitting here, those who maybe have never surrendered to you, that they would this morning receive your love, that they wouldn't let obstacles keep them from knowing who you truly are. That they would not look at their own lives and say, I am so far from God, there is no way he could take me in the state that I'm in. That would be cast out and thrown away. That lie from Satan would not be listened to anymore. But God, that your Holy Spirit in a powerful way would break through any obstacle in our life and help us to come to know and experience your true love. God, make us the children that you desire us to be. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your transforming power. Help us come to realize it. As we continue to pray, I want to read these last words to you as a group. These words are from Paul himself. He says, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised as a child on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalism, righteousness, I was faultless. But whatever I had, and whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but from which is through the faith in Jesus Christ. God, I pray that each of us will come to realize this faith in our own lives. that as we put our faith in you, Christ Jesus, who had your body broken and your blood spilled for us, to bear our sins on a cross and to take our sins away, to make us children that are free to walk in your grace and forgiveness. God, I pray that you would set us all free today. I pray that you would make us anew, that you would help us to walk in you. So God, as for the next few moments, I pray that your Holy Spirit will break through our hearts, that you'll speak to us, you'll show us where we need to come in line with who you are and walking in the steps that you've led for us to follow. And God, I pray that as we remember your body broken and your blood spilled and partaking in communion as children of yours, we'll remember why you did it, why your body was broken and shed for us so that we can now live for you. So God, move amongst us now. Break our hearts. Make us yours. And give us a passion for the community around us so that we'll remember the poor and share your love with them. Over the next few moments, I pray that you feel led to move as the Spirit leads. If you want to pray, we will have prayer teams in the back. I will be at the front to pray with you as well. We will have communion for those of you who want to come and remember what Christ has done for you. Most of all, I pray that you listen to the Holy Spirit and you respond as He is led this morning. Let's worship Him together.